And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, The Man Who Remembered Lincoln, written by Morton Wishengrad, is the last in a series of recreations of 12 outstanding Eternal Light programs.
The House of Representatives will come to order.
The time is 15 years ago. It is February 12, 1948, Lincoln's birthday.
For the first time in the history of this Congress, the opening prayer will be delivered by a foreign clergyman.
There is a mild stir of interest.
It is my great pleasure to present Dr. Leo Beck, former Chief Rabbi of Berlin.
The voice that spoke was a quiet voice, a scholar's voice. When the scholar's voice had spoken, there was a silence. And silence is never an insincere tribute, neither to Abraham Lincoln nor to Leo Beck, the man who remembered Lincoln, even in the Nazi concentration camp of Theresienstadt. Who is this man who had remembered Lincoln? He was a rabbi who was the son of a rabbi. He was a philosopher who read Plato in the Greek and Maimonides in the Hebrew. When he had come to Berlin to assume his post, there were men who had sought to trap him.
Dr. Beck.
Yes?
Dr. Beck, I find here among your writing this sentence. Belief is the life of the soul. Dr. Beck, what would you say is the life of the mind?
Inquiry.
Are you a skeptic, doctor?
I am not. I believe in God.
I see. Dr. Beck, I should like your definition of God.
Why, sir?
I am interested in your proof of God's existence.
Faith cannot be proven, sir. Those who seek God strive after good. Those who find God do what is good. God is a synonym for the morality which can live in every soul as its own moral law.
There was a silence. It is the measure of a man like Leo Beck that his utterances were frequently met with silence. They were silent, but not convinced. And one of their number finally delivered a learned disquisition on the nature of the deity. The voice dripped unction and metaphysics, and ended with a pompous question.
Well, my dear doctor, what do you think of my theory?
My opinion is not important.
Oh, but you are mistaken. What do you think of my theory, Dr. Beck?
There is much in it that is good.
Oh?
And much in it that is new.
Thank you.
But the good is not new. And the new isn't good.
The imitators and the pretenders learned to avoid him after that. And Leo Beck gave himself entirely to thinking through a progressive faith of Judaism. He wrote a great deal and spoke a great deal. But when he spoke, it was sometimes with an air of abstraction.
You do not bargain your faith. You do not compromise it. You yield nothing. And you pretend to no pieties, except those which can prove themselves through life.
And beginning in 1933, the history of Germany commenced to require a daily proof of the faith and the piety of Leo Beck's life.
How do you do, sir? Thank you for asking me to sit down. Or didn't you ask me?
I didn't ask you.
Strange.
Is it?
It is, sir. Notice I say sir. I've been told that you were a gentleman.
Captain, I believe that a gentleman has been defined as someone who is never unintentionally rude. You have business with me, Captain?
Yes. You are, I believe, the custodian of the properties of an organization known as B'nai B'rith.
Yes, I am.
The Gestapo suggests that you sign this paper.
May I be allowed to read the paper?
It's quite brief. It says merely that you, Dr. Leo Beck, hereby assign to, we'll fill in the names in these blank spaces, all properties, buildings, equipment, etc., of B'nai B'rith. Sign here, please. I have a pen, Dr. Beck, if you do not.
Why don't you just take the property?
We like to observe the niceties of legality. Sign here, please.
You'll have to take it away. I shan't sign anything.
You are sure?
Yes.
And the reason?
I shall not legalize what you are doing.
They arrested him, and after a week of imprisonment, unaccountably they released him. He returned to his study and resumed his work. But two of his congregation interrupted him.
Seligson, Hirsch, come in, sit down.
You mind if we smoke?
Not at all, Seligson.
Good cigar. Wonder how many more I'll be smoking.
Well, Seligson?
Dr. Beck, I have a cable from a London congregation which urgently requires your services.
Have you, Seligson?
Yes, and Hirsch here has a letter from Cincinnati in America offering you a pulpit there.
America has always interested me. America's a country without the Middle Ages.
Then you will go?
Seligson, why don't you go? Why doesn't Hirsch?
They won't let us. You're the chief rabbi of Berlin. They'll let you?
Please, Seligson, don't. Please don't force me to make heroic speeches. I want to stay here.
Kippur Eve, while members of the Gestapo were posted in the synagogue, Leo Beck said to the lords of Germany what a man named Mordecai had once said to Haman.
We bow down only to God. We do not bow to men.
His bag was already packed when the Gestapo came a second time. And a second time they released him.
Dr. Beck, the foreign ministries of England and the Netherlands have provided visas for you.
A rabbi's place is with his congregation.
It was 1939. It was a dwindling congregation. On the eve of war, Leo Beck escorted a children's transport to Holland. When he saw that the children were safe, this man with a scholar's face boarded a train. A train goes in two directions. It goes to and it goes from. In his pocket, Leo Beck could feel his entry visa from the British government. But this was not a train from Germany toward England. The train stopped. The train stopped at the German border.
Your name?
Leo Beck.
A B-E-C-K?
I spell it with an A. B-A-E-C-K.
Your passport. Thank you, sir. You are a Jew?
I am a Jew.
You are a Jew returning to Germany?
I am a Jew returning to my congregation.
You are a fool.
A fool cannot be a hero. He was a man of intellect and a man with a faith. And his faith dictated that he should stay.
A rabbi belongs with his congregation.
They pointed out to him that his congregation was now dispersed between Dachau and Buchenwald. They pointed out that escape for him was still possible. And it is recorded that Leo Beck answered,
"As long as any of my people remain in Germany, I must remain with them."
Religion must be proved through life. And a knowledge of God is not a knowledge of something apart and detached from this place and this time. On a Sabbath before Passover, Leo Beck stood in a German pulpit and said to what was left of his congregation,
"Thou too standest before Sinai to receive the word."
They deported Leo Beck's three brothers to Poland. They sent his four sisters to Theresienstadt. He was alone. And while he waited for them to come for him, he read the Greek philosophers, the Hebrew Bible, the Babylonian Talmud, and the papers of an American backwoodsman named Abraham Lincoln. Yes, while the bombs were falling between 1939 and 1943, the last Jew in Berlin sat in his study reading the papers of Abraham Lincoln. And they had finally come.
Rabbi Beck.
I have been waiting.
Then let us go.
May I take a few books?
If you wish.
Thank you. I'm ready.
There were 600 live human beings being crowded with Leo back in the cattle cars that shuttled between Germany and the concentration camp of Theresienstadt. And of the 600, only three besides Leo Beck were to remain alive. Theresienstadt was a place with room for 3,000. There were 45,000 in 1943. 45,000 human beings. And filth and mud and hunger and vermin and sickness and death. Leo Beck had said it. A rabbi's place is with his congregation. He made inquiry for his sisters.
Can you tell me, do you know of Frau Anna Fischer?
She is dead.
Do you know Frau Frieda Feldman?
I knew her very well. She is dead.
I am a stubborn man. I must continue to ask. Do you know Frau Teresa Mendel?
She died not long ago. Dr. Beck, you have another sister.
Lisa. Lisa Stern. Is Lisa alive?
Yes. Frau Lisa Stern was still alive this morning. Come with me. I will take you to her.
He was a man of 70. He had endured much. Terror, imprisonment, nightmare, bereavement. Now he was to know a final bereavement. They led him to his sister, and he held her in his arms. But it was not to be for long, for she died also, and in her brother's arms. If these things are difficult for you to hear, think how it was for him to remember. But when death is a commonplace, there's no moment left for personal grief. Grief is something vast, and sorrow is monumental. And the mourner's prayer is spoken by the single survivor for the multitude of the dead. And having spoken the Kaddish, Leo Beck remembered that he was a rabbi and a teacher. And so there in Theresienstadt, amid the stench of the dying and the filth and the vermin and the hopelessness and the cries of pain, Leo Beck began to speak.
I wish to tell you something Socrates said to those who condemned him.
They drew nearer, the emaciated, the diseased, the doomed, to listen to the words of Socrates.
He said to his murderers, "I would rather die, having spoken after my manner, than speak in your manner and live."
A stormtrooper stood not far away and pretended not to hear.
"Neither in war, nor yet at law."
He spoke slowly, a Hebrew scholar remembering the testament of a Greek philosopher.
"Neither in war, nor yet at law, ought I, or any man, to use every way of escaping death. Often in battle, there can be no doubt that if a man will throw away his arms and fall on his knees before his pursuers, he may escape death. The difficulty, my friends, is not to avoid death, but to avoid unrighteousness.
This was the miracle of Theresienstadt. The things a rabbi brought up out of the well of his memory. Things to say for a final hour.
Rabbi Akiba said, everything is foreseen, yet freedom of choice is given, and the world is judged by grace, yet all is according to the amount of the work.
Of the 45,000 who were in Theresienstadt, only 600 remained alive. You will find them now in Israel, in France, in England, in America, in South Africa. But go to them and ask, and they will tell you how in the months that followed, a man named Leo Beck lectured each day and spoke quietly amid a growing silence. From his scholar's memory, he recited chapters of the Bible. He remembered whole sections of the Talmud. He remembered Plato and Socrates and Kant and Spinoza. And he also remembered Abraham Lincoln.
I shall tell you a story of this man Lincoln. Once when the war was going against the North, one of Lincoln's generals said, Mr. President, do you think that God is on our side or the side of the Confederacy?
What did Lincoln answer?
He said to his general, if you ask such a question, you do not know what religion is. The question is not whether God is on our side. The question is, are we on God's side?
You're trying to tell us that the question is not whether God is for the Nazis, but whether we in Theresienstadt are for God. Is that it?
Yes, Otto.
Tell us more. More of Lincoln.
Very well. After the Emancipation Proclamation, President Lincoln drove into a northern city, and among the people lining the streets, there was a Negro who was weeping. But when the president's carriage passed, the weeping Negro bowed low. And President Lincoln removed his hat, and he bowed to the Negro. That was heroism. And you here in Theresienstadt, you must also begin to be heroes in your daily lives. And if you will maintain your dignity here, then you will attain the achievement of life.
By his presence, he made Theresienstadt different. And even the Gestapo recognized this. For no matter how brutally they spoke to the others, there was respect for him.
No more meetings today. It is verboten. Sir.
Sir. They did not forget to say it. Sir, doctor, rabbi. Mere titles, small things. But they gave him these small things. Nevertheless, they atoned for their civility. Theresienstadt had once been a fortress, and within its walls there lay tons of rusted, useless metal, and the metal was dumped into many carts.
You! What's your name?
Haber.
Put the yoke around your shoulders. You pull the cart from this side.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Beck.
Sir, I can pull the cart by myself.
You will speak only when you are spoken to. Dr. Beck.
Yes?
You will pull the cart from this side.
Yes, sir.
Is the yoke on?
The yoke is on.
Pull faster! That is not fast enough. Your punishment is to be yoked to the metal carts for the balance of the month. Now pull!
In 1943, he was 71 years old. His strength was in his mind and not in the aged muscles of his arms and his back. Nevertheless, Leo Beck yoked himself to a cart laden with the rusted metal of ancient war and became one of two oxen for his jailers.
Haber, can you hear?
I hear.
Do you know what I am thinking?
I have no idea.
I am thinking that the Bible moves forward. Each period must win its own Bible. You and I are now winning the book of Exodus.
We are Israelites among the Egyptians. We are pulling our burdens for Pharaoh.
He should have died, but he did not. For he was a patient man, and he had imagination. And patience and imagination were his genius, and combined to remove him from the pain of the present moment into the memory of the past and the hope of the future. There is a legend that he remained alive because another rabbi named Beck, B-E-C-K, died in Theresienstadt, and the Nazis mistakenly spelled the name B-A-E-C-K and placed the name Leo before it. But however the legend, an army came from the east and liberated him. They were kind to him. They addressed him with civility. But Leo Beck said to his liberators from the east,
"I am a Jew. My faith opposes no science, no economy, save those which forget the human being. We do not oppose them so long as they do not forget morality. The Jewish fight is the fight for the world of men."
They did not detain him. An American major named O'Donnell flew Leo Beck toward the west. In 1948, Leo Beck came to this country on a mission for the Union of American Hebrew Congregations. Out of Theresienstadt, he came to America to speak of Lincoln.
Lincoln was a man of earth. And when you are near to earth, you will also be near to sky. He was a human man, a pioneer of soul. And because he was this, he was melancholy, as all who know suffering must be melancholy.
In January 1948, Dr. Leo Beck sat in the White House and spoke of Lincoln to the President of the United States. On February 12th, Lincoln's birthday, the Speaker of the House of Representatives sounded his gavel.
For the first time in the history of this Congress, the prayer opening this regular session will be delivered by a foreign clergyman.
There was a mild stir of interest.
It is my great pleasure to present Dr. Leo Beck, former chief rabbi of Berlin.
The prayer was very brief.
Our Father, 69 years ago, was born that man who came to be thy servant, the man in whom is the Spirit, and who for the sake of this land became witness and testimony of humanity, herald of thy command and thy promise to the everlasting blessing of this country and of mankind. Almighty God, thou choosest people and selectest nations to bring them into the place which thou hast prepared. Thou changest the times and the seasons. Thou makest history enter the world. Thy servant, Abraham Lincoln, in a message to the Congress said, "We cannot escape history. So help us, O God, that we may not evade history, but may we be granted history." Amen.
Six years ago, Rabbi Leo Beck died in the 84th year of his life. We have come to the time when the heart of America is bound up with a man named Lincoln. Let Lincoln's words be also for Leo Beck. Surely God would not have created such a being as man, with an ability to grasp the infinite, to exist only for one day. No, no. Man was made for immortality.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Arthur A. Chiel, spiritual leader of Congregation B'nai Jacob, Woodbridge, Connecticut. Rabbi Chiel.
Today's Eternal Light drama has clearly intimated that it was poetically and morally right for Rabbi Leo Beck to offer prayerful tribute to Abraham Lincoln before the United States House of Representatives. Who better than the courageous Berlin rabbi could empathize with that immortal leader of our own land, the president who realigned America's original determination that men must be wholly equal under God and law. Having himself stood up heroically in the fire of adversity at Theresienstadt, Dr. Beck could fully grasp the magnitude of President Lincoln's moral dilemma in dealing with a country that was half slave, half free. Lincoln and Beck were spiritual brethren. Both of them were servants in whom is the Spirit. They were spiritually akin in their pure religious conviction that there is a divine factor at work in human history. In his farewell address to his fellow citizens at Springfield, Illinois, the president-elect had said, "I now leave, not knowing when or whether I may return, with a task before me greater than that which rested on Washington. Without the assistance of that divine being who ever attended him, I cannot succeed. With that assistance, I cannot fail. Trusting in him who can go with me and remain with you and be everywhere for good, let us confidently hope that all will yet be well." To this biblical-like affirmation by Lincoln, Leo Beck, the unshaken believer, could utter fervent amen even while under Nazi duress. Today, Lincoln and Beck are very much part of history, not merely of chronicle, but part of dynamic history, in which their names and their truths go marching on. They are men made for immortality.
Thank you, Rabbi Chiel. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Man Who Remembered Lincoln, was written by Morton Wishengrad and was the last in a series of recreations of 12 outstanding Eternal Light programs and presented in observance of Lincoln's birthday. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Alan Manson, Roger DeCoven, James Dukas, Joseph Bell, Bernard Grant, William Martell, Dean Lyman Onquist, and Herbert Norman. Dr. Beck was played by Santos Ortega. The narrator was Norman Rose. Be with us for next week's Eternal Light dramatic presentation, Eleanor Roosevelt, A Recollection, written by Virginia Mazur, the first in a new series entitled Women of Valor, presented in observance of National Brotherhood Week. This is Bill McCord. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.